This is CliffCentral.com.
Zayn Malik featuring Naughty Boy and Pillow Talk. Hey, Flax, are the rest of those guys in One Direction, they still together? What's going on there?
They'll slowly start breaking away. A lot of them are doing their own solo acts. It's just, they're going to play it out that it's not One Direction's breaking up, because then everyone's going to be pissed. They will be like, nah, burn their t-shirts and that. They're basically just going to dissolve, that you don't even see it happen.
No.
You just start listening to Zayn on his own. You start listening to the rest of them on their own.
Right.
It's a clever move.
No. Well, it's going to be awkward for some, because not all of them are going to have successful solo careers. Like, one or two of them are going to end up as the Michelle.
Only Zayn and Harry will have successful music careers. The rest will have to join some boy band that's, like, playing garages and stuff.
They're far too old for boy bands now, Flex. They're far too old now.
A man band.
They'll probably become models or something.
Or go into reality shows.
Flex, how's the man bun coming along?
It's going... my mom is hating it. So we had like a G20 meeting at the house last night.
G20 meeting.
She heard like I'm going through like a life... I wouldn't say... I'm figuring out life. I'd put it at that.
Sure. Yeah.
And she heard about that and
she wants to take control.
Yeah. So G20 meeting at the house. We spoke about... the gout that happened.
Yeah.
So she's now, on Monday, I've got an appointment with the number one dietitian in South Africa. She's getting that all sorted out so that I live a healthy lifestyle. Because she knows I can gym. There's not a problem with my gymming. It's just sticking to a diet that I have a bit of a problem with, which a lot of people have a problem with.
You're not
with.
Even living at home anymore, technically, so she should just back off.
You see, when I was living at home, I'd just buy salads every day, pre-packed salads. But now that I have my own house, my own lovely kitchen, I just want to cook.
And eat.
And then she's not happy about the hair and the fact that I'm looking a bit scruffy, like I'm growing the beard. She doesn't like the fact that I want to become a surfer. So,
well, you got a couple of challenges in that department. For a start, you live in Johannesburg.
Yeah, like how's that going to work exactly, Flax?
Just because of where you stay doesn't dictate what you do. I mean, I can drive to Durban every weekend and surf.
Okay.
No one should be put down because of their circumstances or their situations or their
environment. No one's going to put you down. Just relax.
Like, if I want to be a surfer and I live in Joburg, no one can tell me I can't be a surfer. I can just drive down every weekend and surf.
It's the thought that counts.
I just think surfers live the best life possible, the most relaxed life, carefree in a way.
I feel us going into the vortex.
I was thinking last night.
Flaxy, really, we got to wrap this up. I got to get those clips.
Okay, wrap this up. Done.
All right, thank you. Here, this is the Daily Show. This is what Wanda was talking about earlier. I saw this clip yesterday. And basically, this guy, Jordan Klepper, he goes out and he measures the temperature of the crowd at a Trump rally. And he asks them about a whole bunch of conspiracy theories. Listen to this. It's insane how out of touch these people are and how they just have no desire to figure out a better way.
We cover a lot of stories from this desk, but sometimes to get the real you have to hit the streets. And nobody's more street than Jordan Klepper. Check it out.
Who says news has to be cold and on your screen? I say it's warm and on your face. The real news is on the streets, and it sounds like this. Ba-ba, ba-ba. This is Jordan Klepper, fingers the pulse. This past summer, Trump flag wavers spouted a lot of theories about Hillary Clinton's health.
We see the coughing fits.
She's had, it seems like, a number of blood clots.
What on earth could be the reason behind Hillary Clinton's bizarre behavior?
Look, it almost seems seizure-esque to me.
Turns out they were sort of right.
We're now learning she's been diagnosed with pneumonia.
If the crackpots halfway nailed one theory, maybe their truth fingers were in deeper than mine. I had to find out.
I headed to Trump rallies in the crucial swing states of Ohio and Wisconsin to discover what his supporters know that the rest of us don't.
Do you think it's worse than pneumonia?
Way she looks, yes.
So what do you think's going on?
It could be Parkinson's. It could be MS.
It could be AIDS.
Could be AIDS?
That's the best one. Wait.
It could be AIDS?
It gets better. Listen. It's serious.
What makes you think she has AIDS?
Way her husband used to be.
So you think Bill had AIDS?
Yes.
So how did Bill Clinton get AIDS?
Probably messing around with Magic Johnson.
Messing around with Magic Johnson?
That's the natural conclusion?
Yes.
Interesting. The Clintons and Magic Johnson. Wow. What else do they know?
They're saying there's like a double of her.
Yeah. Do you think there was a Hillary Clinton double?
Yeah.
I think anything's possible when it comes to doubles.
Wow, a Clinton double. Who knew? So I printed out two identical photos to see if they could see what we couldn't.
Which one's the body double?
I'd say that one.
Oh, what is it about this one that makes you think it's not Hillary Clinton?
That the little thing on her cheek is very obvious, and the scarring or whatever this is down in her throat is different.
You know, this is an idiot of the first order. This guy, they printed two exactly the same photographs. These pictures are identical, and this moron is busy finding differences.
Yeah?
There's no difference, you idiot. They were printed at the same printer. It's the same picture.
You can't reason with stupid.
Yes, the stupid is unbelievable, huh?
They look a ton alike, right?
This looks a little bit younger.
You think this looks younger?
Yeah.
But don't you think if you just look at something for long enough and you kind of have a paranoid mind, eventually you'll find a difference and make a big deal of it?
Yeah, I think something like that's possible. Yeah.
Which one are you more attracted to?
This one.
That one. Yeah.
Uncovering Hillary's doubles is one thing, but what could they tell us about our current commander-in-chief?
Barack Obama is a Muslim. He's a terrorist. Nobody will ever tell me different.
We don't even know if he's a citizen.
Do you?
First of all, that woman who called him a Muslim, her eyes are so close together, she could look through a keyhole with both of them at the same time. Wow.
Yeah, if you don't look at the birth certificate, there's almost no evidence there.
Exactly.
So there's nothing Barack Obama could do to prove that he was born here?
If there was maybe witnesses that were attendants at his birth.
Like his mother? Would you listen to his mother?
No. She has motivation to lie.
So you don't trust Donald Trump's birth certificate either?
Yeah, because he's been here forever.
Well, how do you know? What's your proof?
Well, his parents and...
But they're biased. I'm talking about, like, people who could
be
their own.
Why would they be biased?
Well, like, I'm just using your logic against you.
Okay.
He acts like a Muslim.
I mean, that's pretty good arguing on his part, but she just does not.
She doesn't get it. It goes straight over her head.
Yes, these people are stupid.
He talks like a Muslim. He also does
he
the...
He talks like a
Muslim. He talks like a Muslim. He also does the Muslim principles as far as jewelry is concerned.
See?
What?
This is what I was talking about. The jewelry thing.
Is there a Muslim principle about jewelry?
Some really religious clergy don't believe in wearing jewelry, so they don't wear their wedding ring, or they wear it on their right hand as opposed to not their left hand.
Power, Akbar, death to America.
Jewelry?
Yeah, jewelry. Certain months of the year, not wearing his wedding ring.
That's a deep cut. You want me to connect your necklace to your Christianity?
Why would you do that?
Well, you just taught me it. I didn't even know people were connecting jewelry to religion.
Muslims don't wear...
Is that a Jew watch?
And one of the most unbelievable discoveries yet.
Barack Obama had a big part of 9/11.
Which part?
Not being around, always on vacation, never in the office.
What?
Oh.
That was the best one. That was by far the best one, because this moron didn't even know that George W. Bush was president at the time. Barack Obama was not in office, you fucking moron.
Do you think Barack Obama wasn't in the Oval Office on 9/11?
That I don't know. We'd like to get to the bottom of that.
Wow, mind blown. They also had new truths about the media cover-up of Trump's surging popularity.
I don't think the media really portrays all the African Americans that support Donald Trump. As
right. So what should we be portraying? Where are these African Americans?
By the way, he's looking around trying to find one black person at the Trump rally and there isn't one.
When you literally look out across the 400, 500 people here, we don't see any. They'll wave. Wave, white people! Yeah! It's like a Dave Matthews concert. Except Dave Matthews actually has African Americans in his band. Tell me when you see somebody who is not white.
Here, right here. Thank you, brother.
Donald Trump don't even know how much a loaf of bread or a dozen of eggs cost.
That's, they found the drunkest, and he doesn't even look black to me.
Is he a homeless guy that
Yeah, he's
found?
Probably a homeless dude. He was rummaging through the rubbish bins there at the rally.
So you don't even support Donald Trump?
No.
Okay, so he didn't want. Turns out they got one wrong. But the rest of their theories can be backed up with ironclad sources. And what's your source?
Just Facebook or Twitter. I mean, everything. And I.
So you'll look at, like, facts and bull. You'll put it all together.
Exactly.
So outside of having no proof, what proof do you have
I don't have any.
Do you have any proof?
My opinion.
Your opinion.
Do I have proof? No. Do I have articles? No.
But your mind is made up without any information.
My mind is made up.
Jeez. Wow, America. You've got to be so proud of your people.
God help America.
Unbelievable.
Do you think that it would be just as mind-blowing or just as entertaining if you went around interviewing staunch DA, ANC, EFF supporters in this country? I mean, do you think that you could find pearls of wisdom similar to what's happening in America?
No, I give South Africans credit. We're smarter than that. We are definitely 150% smarter than that.
I don't know, hey. I got to be honest. I think we might screw up. We might be just as dumb.
It would be interesting.
If you go to the, I reckon even if you go to these student protests at the moment, and these are tertiary education, you know, level education members of the population that we're talking about, I think you'll still be disappointed.
Mm.
I really do.
Maybe somebody should do that. I'll suggest that at work. They should actually just go and like interview like random people and just go see like what do you think this protest is about?
Just find out what the average South African is thinking.
I still have faith in South Africans. I still think we're smarter than Americans. I really do.
Yonder says, I just had the craziest thing happen to me at the gym. I'm doing my sets and I have a mat down next to me with my abs wheel workout, and I looked away for like 15 seconds. When I was about to do another set, it was gone. And I see another guy using the same wheel as I go. I go to him, and his answer is like, "Oh, I didn't see you. I have already done like two sets. What the hell? Should I take his car and say, 'Ooh, I didn't see you'? No, Yonder. I don't know what kind of gym you're going to.
If he's a big, muscly guy, Yonder, then maybe just let him keep the wheel.
You know? Bad gym etiquette, that. You ask first.
Craig says, Flax, you're a surfer already. It's in your mind, bro.
See?
Yeah, there's a bunch of other, but mostly boring messages. So don't send me boring ones this morning. It's Friday. I want to be put in a good mood. Okay. When we come back in a moment or two, we're going to speak to remember those guys that I went to Silicon Valley with?
Yes.
Well, they're organizing a medical trip to Silicon Valley, which means for anyone in the biomedical field, this will be the most fascinating trip of your life. And they're doing it with Discovery, which is going to be exciting. We'll have Dr. Ryan Noach on the line. He's the Deputy Chief Executive Officer of Discovery Health. And he'll tell us about what's going on in biomedical science, you know, biotechnology, these nanobots that I'm so excited about, the new discoveries, the new innovations, the way that your phone could become a diagnostic tool for doctors. It's fascinating. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. And Rabin is here. He's going to talk to us about a new show. He's here to promote the Clarence Comedy Festival. And it's very difficult for me to get Rabin in here because usually he only gets out of bed if he has something to promote. This is a cheap bastard. So he's here this morning. And he's wearing a pair of sunglasses that make him look... Are they sunglasses or normal glasses? They make you look like a Gupta. There, that's better. All right, very good. We'll talk to Rabin Hadith just now as well and find out what he's up to. Lots of stuff to talk about, everybody. It's Friday. Yes, it's We Dance Again. It's Black Coffee with Nakane Touré, who was in with us on, what was that, Tuesday or Wednesday? When was Nakane here?
Monday? No, Tuesday.
Tuesday. Two for Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday.
All right, everybody. How's your Friday going? You like it?
Yes.
You having a good Friday, Mubs?
I am.
I'm very happy. All right, what has got to run? Very nice of you to come and join us this morning.
It was so much fun. I laughed so much. Yeah, it was the best time ever.
It's good having you hang out with us.
Yeah, you're my peoples. You understand me. I understand you guys.
Right. Now, are you going straight to ENCA? What's the story?
No. Got meetings and socializing events to go to.
When are you on next?
On ENCA.
Will you give us a hand gesture or something so that everyone who listens to you here this morning will be able to see that you identify with them?
Would you like her to throw a gang sign? To throw up some other kind of gang sign?
Like while you're standing
there. The last time somebody made comments about gangs and stuff, they got fired. So I don't think I'm going to follow suit with that, eh? Like I'll give an extra big smile at the end. At the beginning.
No, that's lame. We need more. We need something. Why don't you say... Poon dump.
Poon dump. Okay, I'll work that in.
I'll work that in. Say, like, and Sunderland had a poon dump against whoever.
Steve Campbell just exclaimed, poon dump, when his team did not score exactly. that goal.
That'll go down well.
Yeah.
You want to build your fan base.
Then. Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
All right, thank you, Wada.
Thank you.
Nice to see you there. Cheers. Wada Hartley, everybody. A little bit of sport and some fun hanging out with us this morning. It's Friday. It's also the 23rd of September already. I can't believe this. Now, back in May of this year, I was in Silicon Valley with the guys from they're basically part of Investec, but they've got their own special wing there, and what they do is they put together interesting trips with really interesting young entrepreneurs in South Africa, people who are thinking in innovative spaces, people who are breaking the rules, forging new frontiers, pioneering in their different fields. They've done a couple of trips. They did one to Israel, which focused on agricultural technology and the developments in agriculture, which obviously South Africa needs to up our game in. Israel, very, very smart in that respect. They've turned desert into arable land.
They've got to let us know how.
This is what Dan and Natan do. And this morning, Dan is over here to talk to us about their next trip, which is a trip back to Silicon Valley, but this time it is all to do with biotech. How are you, man? Nice to see you, Dan.
Good. It's good to be back here.
Yeah. Very good to talk to you, man. Now, listen, the last time we spoke to you, it was around what Innovate put together for the Silicon Valley trip for mostly entrepreneurs in the general business field, but there were people in e-commerce, people in online businesses, digital businesses. Now, this one is more about medical technology.
Yes.
Is that about right?
Yeah, so we actually have a few really cool trips coming up over the next 6 months. The one that I'm specifically coming here today to speak about is a trip we're doing with Discovery, focusing on med tech.
Yes.
And we're looking for South African entrepreneurs with small businesses that are related to medical or wellness that are tech-enabled. And we're going to go to Silicon Valley and look for technologies that could be applicable to the South African market.
Now, there are billions and billions of dollars being invested into medical technology because the phone, the wearable technology, whether it's one of these Fitbits, Apple Watches, there are a number of the different kinds of iterations of these devices, but wearables are becoming a big deal. And the best thing about wearables is that you can get up-to-date information, consistent information, about things like blood pressure and heart rate and body temperature and, you know, even more invasive stuff like blood glucose and cholesterol and a whole lot of other interesting info. This is the future, because for doctors, they'll be able to check, they'll upload some info from you that your smart wearable has been detecting, and they'll be able to diagnose you with whatever you've got almost instantly without even having to see you.
Absolutely. I think what's really interesting about med tech is that just what's happening with a mobile phone. You can now use your mobile phone to diagnose yourself on so many things, and it actually means that you don't have to go to the doctor as much, which saves you a lot of money on health bills.
And then all the big insurance companies and the big medical aid companies like Discovery, who are partnering with you on this one, these guys are fascinated by all of this because it does a lot of the work for them. Their actuaries can sit down and figure out what kind of a health risk you are, what kind of medical aid needs you have. They can cut down on the fat, and they can give you the best possible policies, the best possible prices, and the best possible care without having to cut you out of the benefits that you might have to receive. So it works for everyone. It makes everything a little more specific and exact. Right?
Absolutely. No, we're very, very excited about this trip. We've never done a med tech trip to Silicon Valley specifically before. The applications are open right now. They're closing this Sunday evening. Applications can be found at www.enovate.co.za/discovery-trip. But we also have some other really cool trips that are coming up. We're taking two education trips to Finland, one in October, one in November. So we have trips basically going about every month. We're doing a first ever trip at the end of January for South African parents interested in sending their kids to university in the U.S., learning how to get a bursary, how does the education system work. So, you know, we have a huge focus on entrepreneurs, but we essentially want to help South Africans access global opportunities, whether it's in business or education.
I don't know how you guys do it. It's a terrific business that we've got going on here. This Innovate is spectacular, Mubs. Dan and Natan put it together. It's their baby. They take these groups over to these fascinating places to meet really, really high-level people. I mean, you get access to unbelievable, smart, intelligent, connected, rich, powerful people. How do you guys do it? Do you spend the whole year busy arranging this day in, day out? Have you got contacts over there? Are you busy phoning the mighty, powerful people and trying to get tour groups in there to meet them? I mean, how does it work? Natan, you tell us.
Yeah, if we had a look in your phone book, what kind of impressive contracts would we find in there?
Your head will explode. Huh? Come up here. Let's hear from you.
Hi, Gareth. You know, friends and family tell me, you live this glorious lifestyle. You're on the plane all the time. It's a lot more exhausting than it seems. Dan and I are literally overseas every single month for 2 weeks a month. Really, the magic behind it is quite simple. I don't know if you've ever heard of the idea of 6 degrees of separation.
Yeah.
That you can get to anyone.
It's true, right?
That's basically what we found out, is you can literally get to anyone in the world through 6 degrees of separation. So our network globally is pretty big, granted. But through that network, we can get to whoever we need, be it for a university trip to Harvard or for meeting Rudolf Botha at Sequoia Capital. We really just get through our network. But I think the most important part is really adding value to the people that help you. So always having this idea of reciprocal meritocracy, where people are willing to connect you, you've got to be willing to do the same for them.
Right.
And that's a culture we really need to start seeing happening in the business world in South Africa.
Yeah.
This idea of altruistic networking, because it really just accelerates the speed of networking for everyone.
Well, Natan Pollock and Dan Brockman are the guys behind Enovate. They started it. It's a terrific situation that they've got going on here, because they can get these people together. For example, our group that we went to Silicon Valley together on, we still have a WhatsApp group, and we've been talking. Even today, there are messages coming through
that's
from some of the people on that trip. Yeah. What was it, 20-odd people?
Yeah, 20 entrepreneurs.
Yeah. And we're all still talking.
Oh, I
know all of them by
name.
We check in on each other's businesses. One of the guys was visiting Joburg the other day, and he needed an office to do some work from. So someone else gave him the office for the day. It's a whole cooperative thing going on. And this is how you build businesses. We saw it in Silicon Valley. The way these tech giants start off, they're in a garage. They know someone who knows someone who can get them this, who can connect them with that person. Before you know it, they're a Google, or they're a Facebook, or they're an Instagram, or any of these things. It's phenomenal. That's all it takes.
I think that
there we go. You're on.
I think that, you know, our vision for the future is, when people think of opportunities, we want them to look at a map of the world. We don't want them to feel limited by the borders that they live in.
Mm.
I don't think that we're there yet as a society, but that is the vision. We want to show people that the world is your oyster. You can access whatever you want.
And I think that's particularly underplayed in South Africa. I think maybe geographically, or I don't really know all the reasons, but we often think of ourselves as sort of isolated from the rest of the world. You know, we're far away. But when you travel to Silicon Valley, and Gareth, you were privy to this, you realize that South Africans are really as good as the rest of the world.
Oh, we punch well above our weight.
Oh, absolutely. You see, I was just about to ask you guys, because you travel all over the world, but the perception is that, you know, South Africa and the African continent, we're still lagging behind when it comes to advances in technology. Are we closing that gap, or what's the situation?
I mean, the Enovate philosophy is talent is equally distributed, but opportunity is not. So for us, it's about how do you get some really talented people in places that have been really underplayed or underrepresented to date, and go showcase them to the world and start getting people interested in South Africa, doing business in South Africa.
All right, so you're looking for people in the medical technology field who want to go on this trip. You guys take care of everything.
Everything.
Set up the appointments, you set up the flights. This is the chance of a lifetime. If you're someone in this field and you're sitting there at the moment and you think, oh, I can't get a break, I've got these great ideas, I've designed an app, I've developed some kind of diagnostic tool, whatever it might be, this could be your chance of a lifetime to meet the best people in the business. And you need to get on this website ASAP, Enovate. That's
/discoverytrip. And once again, the applications close at midnight this Sunday evening.
Yeah, so get in ASAP. I mean, we can't tell you how important this is. It's a great opportunity for anyone who's in this field.
And it's really going to be an action-packed week. We're taking 3 or 4 months of experience in networking and condensing it into one high-impact week. So 6-7 meetings a day. You're going to be in multinationals. You're going to see the hottest medtech startups. You're going to be at Stanford University. This is really going to be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
And once again, I mean, I think it's important to stress that this is not tech tourism. We're not just going to big, you know, Facebook and Google just to take a tour. We're actually looking at companies that are interested in the African market that are looking for local partners.
Right. Absolutely. I can vouch for that. This is an opportunity. You could find an investor over there. You could end up making a partnership with a company in the U.S. that could really power your business exponentially here in South Africa.
Gareth, on your trip alone, one of the participants raised $500,000.
There we go. Sure. See? It can be done. So please, don't waste any time. Get hold of these guys. If you need to know more, you can find them on their website. And I urge you, if you've got friends, family, if you know of someone who is a brilliant, brilliant person but just needs a break in the med tech field, maybe they've got to meet the right people. This is their chance. Right? Thank you, guys.
Thanks
awesome
so much, Gareth.
Yeah, there we go. Always. It's such a good thing to see South Africans making waves and also being able to connect with other people all over the world who have similar interests, great ideas.
It's invigorating seeing people charging ahead and, you know, doing things that you would otherwise think are impossible. It's very
damn
exciting
right.
to watch.
Thank you, Natan. Thank you so much, Dan. Very nice to see both of you. There we go. You know who this is? Timo ODV, right?
Yes, our friend.
Yash. Hey, Robin. What are you going to sit there like a lummox all morning? Get your ass in here. He's looking at me like he's waiting for Godot.
He's waiting to be introduced like a royal guest.
Well, he is a royal guest. In fact, I'm gonna give him the special intro for this morning.
Okay.
Hello, Robin Hardith. How are you? Sit down, dude. Have a seat. Take a seat anywhere you like. Here, let's give him the proper intro. Here's your special introduction for this morning. Pop on those headphones. Get yourself comfortable. Yes, good morning.
Good morning, Gareth. How are you doing?
How are you, you son of a bitch?
I haven't seen you in ages.
Nice to see you.
Ages.
Robin Hardith is, of course, well known to people. He's a comedian. He's an all-round funny guy. He's been on innumerable TV shows. And he's now, I don't know how this happened, but you are promoting the Clarence Comedy Festival. What do you have to do with Clarence?
Nothing really, except that it's
exactly.
a great little destination. Hi, buddy. How are you
Hello,
doing?
I'm
I haven't
good.
Seen you in ages.
All right.
My home is about 40 minutes from Clarence.
Yeah.
So I'm very
familiar
with
it. Wow, that's a crazy commute.
I'm very familiar.
I'm glad you're here at 8 o'clock.
My parents' home, where I grew up.
She drives. Yeah. She drives every day from Clarence
day.
On a donkey cart. Yeah. It's in the Eastern Free State. It's a beautiful place. My sister
beautiful.
Has been there a couple of times, and she loves it. She's got friends who live there, too. Mm-hmm. And it's magic. It's like this really, really unspoiled, beautiful mountain village.
Yeah, it's like a little, I wouldn't say rinky-dink, but it's kind of old school. It's a destination town. People go there for
Mubs, you know
festival.
It well. I mean, well, it's pretty, right?
Sure, it's amazing. It's gorgeous. And then in winter, yes, yes.
Yeah, I was there a couple of weeks back when there was snow up in the Maluti Mountains.
Yeah.
And as you drive in, you see it. And for people who, you know, you see snow on pictures and stuff, but not many people actually get to see snow. I was surprisingly excited.
So I get excited. I'm like a child when I see snow, especially in South Africa because we don't get it often.
Yeah, it does that too.
Okay, so you got 10 comedians, 15 performances, 9 venues, 3 days. That
Correct.
Sounds phenomenal.
Yes, it's like a – I'm trying to think – like comedy tourism, I suppose,
sure.
for lack of a better word. You know, it's kind of in the middle of – it's Eastern Free State, but it's within driving distance from Durban and Joburg. You can get there in 2.5 hours.
And those people
great
in the Free State, they've got nothing to do all the time. They might as well go.
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
They can drink.
They do. I mean, for the number of restaurants and bars and stuff in that little town...
Because Clarence also have their own beer fest, so you're right.
Yes,
they
can
do. Drink.
The Clarence Beer Fest.
Yeah, they can drink.
All right. Now, you're on the lineup.
No, I'm the festival director.
Oh my God, look at you. How did that happen?
Fancy titles and things.
Was everyone else taken?
I do things that's never been done before, Gareth.
Really? So you're the festival director?
Yeah, I came up with this idea 3 years ago. You're very clever. Thank you. And I, yes, like the lady earlier, you had an interview with a lady and never got to see her.
Wada?
Yes, Wada. And she said, yes, something about South Africans. Like, yes, we are 150% smarter.
Yeah, and you laughed. Just that. That's the dumb thing to say, you think.
I think it's not smart-ish. Anyway,
right,
I spoke to the Clarence Tourism Forum, and I said, look, I've got this idea for a comedy festival and utilizing all your little intimate spaces, like your, your intimate spaces. Yeah. No, utilizing all your restaurants and bars and pubs and conference facilities. And so it's kind of like a pub crawl with comedy.
Sounds
and
fantastic.
Food.
This is a great weekend.
Yes, it's a great weekend. You know, people go, oh, we want to go and do something. Oh, people always tell me, where's comedy in South Africa been? Now, compared to 10 or 12 years ago when we just started comedy scene with you, it was...
Is that your phone or your vibrator?
Yeah,
it's both.
It's Warda kicking your ass.
She sent you a message. You were saying compared to a couple of years ago.
A couple of years ago, people would be like, hey, where's comedy? And now there's comedy clubs. There's, you know, comedians doing great things in the world. The focus on comedy in South Africa, you don't have to go look for it in the dark, dingy corners. It's out there.
We've got such a good comedy industry going, really.
Yes.
I mean, there's so many very, very proficient, consistently good people in comedy. Mm-hmm. Isn't it hard to choose a lineup?
It is, but a lot of people, you know, I understand there's a huge amount of comedians out there. And although many of the comedians say they love the craft, and lots of comedians do love the craft, it is still their main source of income.
Okay.
You know, so if they got to do a corporate gig for X, Y, and Z company at a golf day, and it's paying them 12,000 or 13,000 rand a month, you know, it's hard for me to book them because I can't pay them that at the festival.
So who have
I'm saying
in?
Come and do club gigs.
Who have we got on this one?
Oh, this one we've got Angel Campy.
Yes.
She's just come
I know
back
Angel.
From
yeah,
she's
cool.
just come back right. from 2 months. She was in Canada and the States and New York.
Okay.
Doing great stuff with Comedy Central at the
Very
Montreal
nice.
Comedy Festival.
Cool.
We've got Tsepo Mogale, who's been doing comedy for as long
Love
as I've been watching
Tsepo.
Comedy.
Yeah. Sure.
We've got Claudine Ullman, who is a new little upstart kind of doing things. She's got a company called Jittery Citizens, and what they do is improv. So
I
she studied improv
yeah.
around
she was
the world
here for a while. Yeah,
yeah and yeah. She teaches comedians theater acting and stuff to help them get roles and stuff. Friends of mine like David Kibuka, they all been taught by her at some point.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I've got Eric Janssen. You know Eric.
Yes.
Eric does a podcast.
Very
on
very good.
Fridays.
He's on with that drunk.
Dave Levinson.
Dave Levinson. That's right. I always forget what his name is. I always for some reason I think of beer.
Yes, yeah. He makes his own craft beer and then
he does.
Drinks
Dave
it all.
Brew. He's bringing some to my kids' 1 year birthday tomorrow.
Do you hang out with comedians a lot of the time? A lot
you
of
know,
these guys
I,
are
I haven't
friends.
For a while. I mean, I was in the industry hard and thick and fast. You remember, I was all up in everyone's business, producing shows left,
but
right, and center.
I mean, you're actually. Let's just remind people, you're an architect.
Yes, I have an architectural services company as well.
Right. So you're an architect. A lot of people may remember you from Big Brother, the
Correct.
Original one.
2002.
When that show still made people celebrities.
The very first interview I ever had from me being just this kid, grew up in Indonesia, you know, did some nasty stuff on a TV show.
Oh, are you Indian?
Just about.
Just about.
The very
about.
First interview?
Yeah. The very first interview I did as officially a celebrity was you on 7:02, 6:45 in the morning, the day after I got evicted.
How did that go?
Oh, you tried to bamboozle me with some bullshit.
What do you mean?
You said, oh, Sir Robin, you've been in the house for 58 days. What do you think of David Beckham's death? And I was like,
oh, wow.
I was like, dude.
I tried to trick you.
You tried to trick me.
Did you believe it for a
no.
second? Were
you
like,
see what
oh
happened?
God.
Just clever people like you and me. Because we also existed before the time of Facebook and Twitter.
Mm.
But then we knew stuff before Facebook and Twitter as well. Mm. If you and I played Pub Quiz in 2003, we'd do fantastically well.
Yeah.
And then people now want to play Pub Quiz, but then they got the Google machines under the table
right.
doing stuff.
So that's why I always endeared myself to you, because you know things.
You know things too. I like that kind of real world knowledge. I don't think if you can Google something, it doesn't make you smart.
No. If you can Google it and then remember it 5 years from now, you're smart enough to do it. So, and the rest of the lineup is, I'm announcing.
But you don't want to talk about you. I'm busy talking about you.
Sorry. Okay.
What's wrong with you? Can I handle this interview?
Fine.
Can I do my job?
I'm just looking around.
Talking about
this. This is like a.
Didn't I tell you he's just come in here to plug his festival? That's all he wants. No. Rabin is an architect. He was in the Big Brother house all those years ago. He's done a lot of comedy, MC work, all the rest of it. And you love Formula One. I remember something like that.
Yeah,
too.
I do like Formula One.
And you've worked with Trevor Noah. I mean, let's not mess around.
Yeah, I mean, I remember booking Trevor, getting a call from another comedian, Martin Jonas, many years ago, going, I just saw this kid do an open spot in Newtown. And I used to run a gig at the Blues Room.
So you really knew him from the start.
So he called. You know when Trevor had dreadlocks?
Yes.
You see, when people go, what do you mean Trevor had dreadlocks? Trevor had dreadlocks. So, and he
Have
called me.
You got
me
a picture of that?
The weirdest thing with that photo is he's got dreadlocks and he's wearing a crochet vest.
Wow, that's bad. Shit, you could sell that to American. You could sell that to an American gossip magazine now.
Oh. Yeah, and then so I called him up. He said, "Hi, Ruben. I got your details from Martin Jonas." I said, "Cool."
Mm-hmm.
He said, "I'd come through to the gig and do an open spot." And he came through and did about 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah,
it was fantastic. Yeah. You know, there was definitely
could you spot
a spark
the talent?
There was
straight
a
away?
Spark. It wasn't like, "Oh my God, this guy's so amazing." It just went. He's pretty much better than 90% of the other guys out there.
Yeah.
And then the thing that set him apart was that he worked hard. You know, he'd write his gags, he'd rehearse them, and things that we just thought comedy was a very organic thing. And I still find comedy to be a very organic thing. If I get on stage, I don't try to always keep to a script unless I'm emceeing an event and there is an actual script. But he worked it and he honed it and he thought that's not a good gag and change that and do stuff. And as he started playing more and more club gigs, you get to speak to a lot of people. I always said the University of Comedy is backstage. The University of Comedy is coming off stage and Luisa Gola telling a new upstart, the next time you do a gag, don't say chick, say girlfriend.
Yeah.
And things like that make a big difference. And when all the comedians, I mean, I remember when the University of Comedy was the underground in Melville, and basically every single comic in Joburg was there every single Sunday night for 2 or 3 years. And that was maybe 10 or 12, 15 people, where now you have a big industry night like Savannah Comics Trace Awards, where you can fill a huge conference venue with all the industry types.
Yeah.
So that's how big the industry's gone in 10 years. And yes, it kind of creates an up vacuum. So people like Trevor doing great overseas, Luisa going to Edinburgh a couple of times, all of that kind of creates an upswell for people to go, hey, man, there's this place called Edinburgh, and if I'm good enough, I can go and do comedy. And there's Montreal, and there's places now. There's comedy clubs in Cape Town. There's comedy clubs in Johannesburg. There's a great – the most booming comedy circuit, if you want to call it that, in Johannesburg is in Durban of all places.
Is in Durban. You mean it's South Africa, isn't it?
No, Durban. Sorry. Yeah, the biggest comedy –
careful, because Wadda just messaged me. He's a fucking idiot.
Sorry, Warda. I feel 114% unsmarter.
So Durban, there's more.
Durban, there's a lot of comedy. You can go to a comedy show in Durban every single night of the week.
Wow.
Yeah.
How did that
happen?
And
that's just 2 or 3 producers.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, sure, it's smaller space, but all of these things have to happen in smaller spaces. Not everyone can fill the Lyric. Not everyone needs to do the Teatro at Monte Cassino. You need to go to your local pub or your local restaurant and go, hey, man, give me 60 seats on Thursday.
Right.
Let me tell my friends. That's where you go. Because comedy is not a – there's one place in the world in Canada where you can write a degree in stand-up comedy. Huh. And your lecturers are like Mike Myers and all the big Canadian greats. So, like, it's really good. Bill Cosby at some point was like an affiliate of it, but I don't think they're doing that anymore.
I think they should.
You can just see his lectures. rape jokes 101. You know?
they should lose any evidence of him being affiliated with that institution ever.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what drives me crazy about Bill Cosby is he always insisted on being called Dr. Bill Cosby, right? Because he's got honorary doctorates.
Oh, I just thought from the show, the Huxtables.
Maybe that's what got him thinking about that. Yeah. But he always insisted on being called Dr. Bill Cosby because he had honorary degrees, and they've all stripped their degrees from him now. So now he's Mr. Bill Cosby, whether he likes it or not.
That's weird.
Yeah. If you get an honorary degree, you don't call yourself doctor.
Yeah, I mean, if you think of, who's... Jeremy Clarkson has an honorary degree in engineering.
Exactly. Doesn't mean he's an engineer. You wouldn't let him fix your car.
No.
Now, do you still practice the architecture all the time?
Yeah. I was emailing today. So what I do is I certify areas for lease agreements.
Oh, wow.
So I go to buildings and measure the buildings. Sometimes it's really old buildings and they don't have plans because it's 1974 or it's in feet and inches, you know, plans from council. So I certify areas and I issue a certificate.
Is there good money in that?
Yeah, well, for the 2 or 3 years hiatus that I've had from the comedy, I've been doing... I mean, look, every single... You have a lease agreement.
Yeah.
Every single person that has a shop or a business, whether you're big... You know, whether you're the Department of Justice or you own a sweet shop in the mall at Carnival City, you know, that's the people. So basically anyone that has a lease agreement is a potential client.
And they get charged by square meters?
Yes, I get charged by square meters. So if I measure your premises and it's 520
square
meters.
Do you ever get people saying, hey, Rabin, hey, how's you make your square meterage a little less, hey, so I can pay some cheaper rent here? You get that?
You do a really good dance, Simpson.
Come on, man. I put a 20 in your pocket now, 20 thou. You give me a reduction on the rental here.
No, no one's ever done that, and I don't think I'll ever do it. It's not. It's just, you missed the point.
Yeah, right.
You missed the point.
I get it. You're honest. I know. I know you are. But you're also really funny. Did you miss doing comedy on a regular basis?
No, I've kind of got to the thing where I know I do quite a bit of corporate and MC work. Sure. So, and I found I wouldn't say a niche market, but Indian family functions.
Are you kidding? Is that
weddings
the thing
you're doing? 21st, MCing. People call me out of the blue. Hey, man, I saw you MC this guy's wedding. Can you do my wedding? Yeah, sure. Where is it? Oh, Mount Edgecombe in Durban. Okay, cool. What's your fee? My fee is X amount. Will you pay for my flight and accommodation? Yes. Sure. One of the nights I went partying with you in Durban, you were at a crazy Indian club out in a weird industrial area.
Sure.
You're like a weird industrial area. And I called. I was like, hey, I see you both in Durban. I met you and we went for drinks and stuff afterwards. That I was in Durban that weekend because I was emceeing a wedding.
Yes, this dude. Do
crime
remember?
Scene number one. Put up the yellow tape right there.
Now, are you? What's it like with a kid and the wife and the responsibilities of that?
Little baby Monroe. He's blazing.
Yeah.
He's just he gives you a whole kind of different kind of joy or meaning. It's, now I'm like, oh, whoa, yeah. Just hold my tequila for a while. Yeah.
Let me talk about this.
Yes.
So is he impressive kid already?
He's
super
impressive.
Is he now?
He turned one 2 days ago.
Uh-huh.
And
can you tell he's really smart? Because some people think their kids are smart,
because
but their kids are morons.
No, I wouldn't say he's a moron, but and if he is, I'm only partially to blame for it. He's only 50% moron from my side.
but this is something that worries me.
He talks, he walks, he can blow out his candle.
At one.
I'm thinking, I don't know kids who can blow candles at one.
That's very impressive.
He can talk. He knows words. He knows the difference between water and a banana. And he can say water or banana.
1 year old.
1 year old. That's climbs upstairs, climbs downstairs. Okay, walks into things a lot. Like fucking bumps his head. I'm like, guy, look up. Just at this, you know, I'm trying to play you up here to people.
Yeah, but he sounds
and now you're eating a nachi like you... What's wrong with you?
Smashing it against his head.
He can eat a nachi with your foot, but it doesn't make it a good idea.
And the whole idea of actually being married, I mean, for you, for the longest time, I remember you were a bit of a wild guy.
I mean, if I think of from the time I met you, was 2001, 2002, and we'd go to the same nightclubs. It'd always be all these industry nights. Remember Marrow's Arch on the Thursday evening with your buddy Alan Ford? And it was great. It was always a weird mix of people. And then I thought, oh, this is cool. And then I got into DJing and hosting at nightclubs.
That's
and
right.
For many years, I worked at the best nightclubs in Joburg, and it was great fun. And I just thought, wow, this is great, because every other night or every other weekend, there's fresh blood. There's different girls, there's different music, different people.
You were pretty much drunk nonstop.
A lot. And then I suppose like having like moving away from the nightclub scene into the comedy scene, and then I started traveling with comedy national tours with Trevor, doing tours with Eugene, taking Lisa Gorlach to Edinburgh.
When did you hear from Trevor while we were on him?
I think I saw him about.
You drove past
8 or 9 months ago.
His billboard in New York. Don't lie.
No, no, actually, my brother's his manager.
Yes.
So I haven't shook his hand and spoken to him for maybe 9 or 10 months. And before that was probably Edinburgh 2012.
Yeah. So it's a long time.
It was a long time. And I suppose
they go
in breakups, you know, there's that healing period. And I think we're going through that healing period.
No, but hang on. Don't you want to go and like buy a ticket from a scalper in New York? Go and sit in the front row at the Daily Show and just sit there and see if he sees you. Don't you want to do that? Couldn't that be fun?
It would, but I mean,
sit there like, but you must look really sad and like forlorn.
Maybe
and
just dress up as a bum. Yeah, as a hobo.
You just wear like homeless people clothes and sit there in the front row and look really miserable and start crying in the middle of the show. And he'll notice you and he'll go, oh, Jesus, it's Rabin. What's happened to you?
No, I found that it's no use. And like you could have been you on commercial radio and stuff, and people are chasing a thing. You're chasing a like, you're chasing a retweet, you're chasing a stuff, you know? And you went, no, I want to do this thing where I think people will like it. So let me try this thing.
Yeah.
And the same with that. I didn't want to continuously be that guy or someone else's yes man. Or
sure.
He's only doing this because he's associated and affiliated with that person. Do you know what I'm saying? So it was always tricky. And after a couple of years of that, it was like I wouldn't say an internal dilemma. But you have a crisis of conscience. My wife's a lawyer. She uses that a lot.
Sure.
A crisis of conscience. And... yeah, there was a breakup.
Right.
Like all relationships, whether it be business or intimate.
Absolutely.
There's breakups. And there was a breakup, and that was it. And
how did you meet your wife?
I met my wife at a food and wine appreciation group that I used to run.
It's very sophisticated.
Yes, very, very fancy. Basically, it was me. When Facebook just started, I was like, how do I meet people?
and wine appreciation group.
Yes.
That's some
sweet. But the weird thing was, I used to call it Faywag.
Was this an actual group you
belonged
to? This was
like
a club?
I started it. I started it.
Oh, now it makes sense.
So what I do is I book a restaurant and I book a table of 25 people.
Yeah.
Like it, wherever.
Metro. And the whole purpose of this, by the way, is for him to find girls to date.
Yes.
Yes.
And I did about 13 of them, and I met and dated 4 girls, of which the last one I married.
Okay.
You're kidding.
And
look
the one that
you.
I met, when I met Nastasha, that was the last one I had. After I met her and we started dating, I've never had another one in 3 years.
In other words, you never cared about food and wine.
No.
You have no appreciation for them. You're a philistine.
Above like a box wine and
the pretty face and pussy club. That's what you should call
it. Paff.
Paff. Well, I'm very happy for you. Look at
you
how far
you've
come.
You too, man. Can I say something? Because I think you're someone that will appreciate it, and then you'll be sincere enough to say yes or no. Because you know, you meet people after many years, you don't see them, you go, hey, man, I got a hook. Let's go for lunch. Let's do brunch and stuff. And they go, okay, cool. But then you don't hear from them again.
Mm.
So I have a thing where I go, hey, man, do you want to let's meet for lunch 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time?
Yeah.
They go, yes. And I take out my phone, and I go, calendar.
Yeah.
And then you'll know if they're genuine or not.
Yes.
If they go, oh, yeah, okay, cool, let's look. So now here you, Gareth, with all your 12 listeners. 12,000.
Go to hell.
Because you've made a difference.
Why don't you go to MC a wedding?
No, those 11 people can't afford me. Because you've made a difference with the internet radio. I remember when it started and people were like cooking the books and doing stuff. But now this is a bona fide thing.
That's a thing. It's a thing.
And you went and you learned from Howard Stern. You know that stuff. So yes, we're always 3 or 4 years behind the curve. But now we're doing it. So now I've got you on the spot. When are we going to have a lunch?
No, I don't want to have lunch with you.
Okay, then a drink then.
See, that's genuine. Because I don't want to go out. I don't see people. I don't like going anywhere anymore.
Okay, then.
I've become completely...
He's a hermit.
Anti-social.
Okay, come to my house and I'll have some nice fancy wines.
Yeah, and then I can meet your wife. That would be fun.
That'd be great. Okay, right. Cool.
Take out your calendar, you motherfucker.
Okay, they were both whipping
when
their
are we doing?
Calendars
see
out.
See Gareth going, March 2017.
Yeah, I can schedule it in November.
Okay, so 6 to 8, I'm doing the festival. Plug, plug.
When is the festival again?
Yeah,
tell us again.
The 6th to the 8th of October. Come to Clarence.
That's it. So I must put in my calendar here. That
okay, so you tell, because you're clearly busier than I am. So if you go, you pick a date. You can play a game. Pick a date for the date.
Does it have to be over a weekday or weekend?
No, weekday. I work from home. So you can say 11 o'clock on a Wednesday morning, Rabin, I need
all right.
Whatever, yeah.
Is this a lunch or a dinner situation?
Whatever. It's whenever Gareth has time for an old friend.
I'll tell you what's good. I've got to go and do an Institute for the Advancement of Journalism conversation on racism at 10:30 on the 19th of October.
Oh, cool.
So how about we do lunch after that, because I'll need someone to make me feel happier after talking
okay,
about racism.
Okay, 19th of November.
Yeah. Can we do that? Lunch?
Yeah, I've got it.
Lunch, Rabin. All right, let me put this in here quickly. Are you on social media? You care
yes,
about
I am.
That stuff?
Yeah, pretty much.
You do? Where are we going to go?
Oh, where's Institute of Race Relations?
yeah, where's it
in
happening?
Auckland Park.
In Auckland Park.
I don't want to go there, though.
No, no, no.
Nice
we'll
there.
Go. We'll go to.
Where do you live?
I live in the Glen Vista. There's a great little.
Oh, you're in the south of Joburg. Forget it.
Meet halfway.
Meet halfway. Halfway's city of Joburg. Like something fancy, like the Rand Club.
44 Stanley somewhere.
Yeah, 44 Stanley.
Okay, let's put that in. All right.
That's not halfway. That's in Auckland Park, but that's okay.
That's fine. Yeah. So I don't want to go to anywhere Auckland Park. So but the street after Auckland Park, let's fucking meet there.
So 63 Stanley.
63 Stanley.
All right. What time again? 1 o'clock.
Yeah, 1 p.m. is great. Right, here okay. we go.
Got it. 1,300 hours, Wednesday, 19 October.
Safe. Perfect.
Lunch for being done. All right.
Thanks for being genuine and sincere, Gareth. I appreciate it.
Oh, you put me under pressure.
Normally I'd try. Oh, you sound like a politician. Normally, I only have to do the right thing now because people are throwing shit.
Yeah, well, normally I'd weasel out of it. But I'll be there. All right.
Good. That'd be great fun.
So, besides the festival, what are your plans for the rest of the year? What big things are you going to be doing?
I'm working on two, I want to say secret projects, but we haven't announced it yet. Also a bit of a comedy tour. And then next year I'm working on an international music act,
ooh,
which I've been working on for 12 years. If they come down next year, it will be 13 years in the pipeline.
Is it Julio Iglesias?
No, it's not Julio. Oh. It's not Julio. It's something, I mean.
Is it Michelle from Destiny's Child?
No.
Shame.
I'm sure she has kids who could sing now. Like,
is it one of the guys from NSYNC who was not Justin Timberlake?
Were there others?
Nobody
like I was
knows.
Watching some VH1
you,
the other day.
Can you remember one guy from NSYNC who isn't Justin Timberlake? Name one.
Lance Bass.
That's true.
He was actually, yes, you're right. Mm. So what happened to him?
He tried to pull a Mark Shuttleworth. This is what he did. He said, I want to go to space. And people, and he thought, okay, people are going to love him because, he's the guy. Yeah. And he said, I want to go to space. And then they went to the Russians.
No.
Yeah, and?
And then he said, okay, I need money. Obviously, you need money to go to space. But Mark Shuttleworth just went with, like, his Capitec card. You know?
Yeah,
like,
right.
He just went with his card and swiped it. Yeah. And then he's like, okay, you go to space. And then Lance is like, I've got my gold card, but then that shit's maxed out, so you couldn't use it. Then he went on like online. He was like, hey, like, you know, in crowdfunding, you had to be manual. He was like, hi, guys, I need money to go to space. And then he raised something ridiculous, like a ridiculously stupidly low amount of money.
Lance
that was like,
Bass.
Yeah, try Lance Bass, go to space.
Shame.
And, like, and then obviously you didn't go to space.
No, shame he couldn't.
Wow. He's got nothing going on.
No.
You know, it's hard trying to make it in that Hollywood place. Huh? It's not for everyone.
He got married to a guy.
Mm.
That's all the news. The last piece of news I can find on him is from 20... Yeah, it was that going to space thing.
And that was a good couple of years ago.
It was like 10
years.
That
wasn't last week. Yeah.
10 years ago. Shame.
And I think I've seen him on like a Strictly Come Show Me a Dance thing. So you think you can strictly do something?
Yeah.
Oh, here's something good, if anyone cares. Lance Bass reveals which NSYNC guy had the most sex, and it's not Justin Timberlake. Do you care about which one it was?
Well, was it him?
Let's see here. He said that the answer was Joey Fatone.
Joey Fatone.
Do you believe that? I don't believe that. Come on. Truth or Daisy.
I think that it's people always think like in bands and stuff, and like I toured with lots of bands in South Africa, that like the main lead singer guy is stuff, but it's never the case.
Why not?
It's always like the quiet, because I think the girls feel or maybe people feel it's too much of a It's too out there, and it's too kind of cliched. Oh, I was at the lead singer of...
No, but you know what?
But it's, if you're at the stage manager of Rolling Stones, if you're at the...
Yeah. But they've also got more time.
Yes, also true.
The bassist in a
and,
band...
And less to lose.
Playing the bass, you could be mildly retarded, and you could play the bass. And you
I'm thinking
still...
in my mind, as you're saying that, I've pictured three or four bass players for South African bands, and I'm going, now that you mention it...
No, it's true.
But they're getting the ass.
And they're getting ass. It's good to be a bass guitarist because you don't really have responsibilities.
I suppose if you take away the B, you're ass just an player. Ass player.
All right, I'm looking forward to this,
you too.
Clarence Comedy Festival. Let's give it another plug. Thursday the 6th, Saturday the 8th of October in the destination town of Clarence in the Eastern Free State. A multi-venue, multi-performance comedy festival like no other in South Africa, possibly the whole of Africa.
Dun,
10
dun,
comedians, 15 performances, 9 venues in only 3 days. Each performance is different. The comedians are rotated to make sure every show is unmissable. If you want more information, you can go to...
Go to Facebook.com/Clarence Comedy Fest. And when you make money, we'll have a website.
Do not go to Facebook and look for the food and wine appreciation
group.
No. Oh, there'll be like
that
a post.
A trap.
There'll be a post from 2011 going, hey, meet me at Franco's.
I met my wife, now I don't care about you.
True.
All right, Robin, always nice to see you, dude.
You too, Gareth.
This has been fun.
It's been fun. Yeah. Good to see you too, my buddy.
Come and visit
good
us more often.
Good to see you.
I like this. This is a good way to end a show on a Friday.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, let's get out of here.
Okay,
I'm all
don't waste it by playing an old clip of mine.
No, I won't play any old clips.
Thank you.
I'm all out of here. I'm talked out. What a week.
All talked out.
Right. Thank you very much for joining us. Coming up next, Ari and Kat live from Cape Town.
Sure. Those people are getting around.
Yes, they were in Durban on Wednesday. They're in Cape Town now. And then later on, Lerato Chabalala, then Dineo and O'Neill, and then Thibaut Touch on in the afternoon. If you want to see what's going on CliffCentral.com, Dave Levinson's about to start the Gas Comedy Podcast, and Casper De Vries is on today, the sex show. There's lots of good stuff to look forward to. So, whatever your tastes, there's something for you. Cheers. Thank you for joining us this morning. It's been fun hanging out today.
This is CliffCentral.com.